Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Candidly Keisha.
Keisha Knight Pulliam has grown up on TV, playing characters on shows like The Cosby Show to Tyler Perry's House of Pain.
They know Rudy. They know Miranda. I've been in the business literally for 36 years.
Keisha's an actress, philanthropist, foodie, and now host of her own podcast.
This is an opportunity for you, my friends, my fans, to get to know me, just Keisha.
This is Candidly Keisha.
Welcome to Candidly Keisha. It is Friday. Yay.
That was a good one today. I'm very excited. Who knew? You know why I'm excited? I'm excited because my long-lost friend is visiting me today, and she's in the studio.
I am here.
Miss Duana Haley.
Hello, people.
Hello.
Hello, my friend.
I miss you.
I know.
I miss you so much.
This is what happens when your friends are, when you're both moms.
Yes.
And your schedules are crazy busy.
Yes.
And you think, but it's also the good thing about having adult friends.
Yes.
Right? Because you're not feeling some kind of way because
exactly.
It's been a while that you could get together. You just text
and you're like,
Marco
okay,
Polo.
We're going to figure this out.
We're going to figure this out. And when we see each other, it's like, oh my God, my soul has found its mate.
I know. And I got a booty grab and
I did.
My life is complete. The most action I've gotten in like 2 years.
For all of you out there, I grabbed Keisha's booty for all of you out there. Just, you know,
Thank you
can live vicariously through me.
I do. I definitely appreciate it.
It was a wonderful grab.
Yes.
I'm a good friend.
Yes.
You know, if you say you need to be filled up, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, I can't do that for you. I'm totes going to do that for you. So
let's talk about this Rapunzel. I haven't seen my friend in what feels like forever. And she has these flowing, beautiful locks. The
mm-hmm.
hubby is, I'm sure, loving this look.
The hubby is loving it. Yes. I'm 38. So I feel like I'm approaching that mark in life where, you know, not that I plan on, like, dulling down my fashion, but, like, certain moves, I just feel like that's for the young gals. Like, let the young gals do that. So, like, the 22, 23 inches of yaki, like, I feel like at some, you know, you hit 40, 41, 42, you need to be moving up out of the 23, 24 inches of yaki.
It's funny. You just said that. My birthday is in almost exactly a month.
Mm.
Well, wait, what's today?
7th.
No, it'll be...
Yeah!
But because technically it's Friday.
No.
So, yes, it is actually exactly a month from today.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Go Aries.
Go Aries. It's a birthday.
Well, yes.
And guess how old I'm going to be?
Wait, if I'm 38, you'll be 39.
I know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't feel like I'm 39.
No.
I whispered like that, like made something different, but I really don't.
No, but I told my friend Julie last night, like I'm really enjoying this phase of life
mm-hmm.
because I feel like I'm old enough and wise enough to be able to like step right up into the line, but like not fall over the edge.
Yes.
So like my fun is different. My
yes.
decision making is different. And it's like when I want to push the edge, when I want to like do
you know your
craziness,
limits. Like,
I know,
you know
the
your limits.
Limits. Unlike in the 20s, we were just, you know.
You bombard. You just
effing and essing. We was just
boom.
Out here just living, not knowing where the hell we were going
As
or what
As my brother
we were
would
doing.
Say, riding down the highway with your ass in the wind hanging out.
Right, basically.
Just, yes, with your ass in the wind.
That was life. Today, I'm like, oh, I know I can do that. And I can be wise about it and still, like, push limits
right.
without killing myself.
I
appreciate it.
Don't die. We don't
yeah,
need
no.
to die. So, you know what I wanted? It was funny. I was thinking, I was like, what are we going to talk about? And this is a topic that I'd been wanting to do for a while,
okay.
mom guilt. Mommy guilt is so real.
Yeah, mom guilt is real.
And, you know, with you being an executive and traveling and, you know, because we were trying to even figure out our schedules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was in L.A., then you're going to Germany, then,
mm-hmm.
you know, then I'm traveling to, you know, it's so much going on.
Yep.
How do you handle that? Like, do you have any tips or advice? Because I had serious mom guilt when I had to finally go back to work and mm-hmm. the opportunity that I had made, I was away from my baby.
Right.
And it was too much. Like, I realized from that experience, okay, we can't do that.
Okay.
Like, we have to see each other regularly. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what it is,
for
I have
sanity.
To be able, for my sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably more me. Actually, it's a little bit her, too, because we're both there.
Mm-hmm.
So help me.
You know, I'm 2 in now. I have 2. Mm-hmm. Lillian's 4. Noah is 8. And
cutest little schmunchkins.
I will say with Noah, it was harder because he was my first and I was still trying to figure everything out. But I think what I know now is that, you know, in corporate, we always have this talk about work-life balance. And I realize now that that's complete and utter bullshit. There is no such thing as balance.
Thank you for saying it.
There's no such thing as balance. It is what you choose and what you don't choose. There are days when I choose to prioritize work.
Okay.
And in those days, those are the days that the children fall behind.
Okay.
And then there are moments or, you know, days when the children like, nope, it's the children. Work, you got to fall back.
Right.
And so it is what it is. I've learned now to live with my choices. And I also set boundaries. So if I'm traveling for work, I don't want to be gone longer than a week. That has expanded now that the children are older
right.
and they can make their own cereal now. So, you know, like as the kids hit new mile markers, I'm like, all right, I can afford to like do
right.
a little bit more.
Right.
But yeah, it's what you choose and what you don't. And you just have to let the guilt go.
Got it.
It is what it is. Like your kids are, what you've learned about your kids, the older that they get is that they're super resilient.
Yeah.
And the things that Ella is learning from you, from seeing you move and operate in this way, just will help to set the stage for the woman that she'll become as well. So I also don't want to feel guilty because I want Lillian to see me.
Yeah.
Make
doing
these choices
thing.
And doing
right.
these things and understanding that having her didn't diminish me. If anything, I'm working a lot harder so that she can have the life that she wants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. You killed that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Because
it's such a thing because not only do you have to physically be there and nurture your children, but you do have to set that example because they are learning from what you do, not what
mm-hmm.
you say. And, you know, also you do have to be a provider. Like I have to provide for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the two of us.
Yep.
So I have to ensure that, you know, I have to think down the road. Like she has college tuition. She
mm-hmm.
has private school tuition. They're, you know, whatever her interests. And, you know, these kids today, you know, even with the little damn music class, it's like they have semesters and tuition.
Oh,
And you're looking like, but she's one.
Right.
Like, she poos her pants.
Right.
Help me understand
right.
this. Why does this cost this much money?
Exactly.
But, you know, I don't trade it for the world. And I really look forward to this part, like, to this place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've worked so hard. Like, literally, I've worked my entire life. But
yeah.
now it's amazing to have someone to share it with.
Mm-hmm.
And also to have someone to be thinking about in terms of my legacy and creating a space for them to thrive, and as she gets older, to leave everything to her.
Absolutely.
So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for my mom. Mom, if you don't know, my mom's birthday just passed. Happy belated birthday,
Happy
mom.
Happy belated, mom. I love your mom.
I love my mom,
too. I love that your mom is following me on Instagram. Every time she likes something, I'm like, okay.
Girl, my mom is like the federales. So when it comes to like social media, if you ever need someone research, ask Denise Pulliam.
Listen.
She's got this.
When she likes,
nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
When she likes something that I like, there was like an expletive in there. I'm like, oh, mom saw that. Sorry, mom.
Have you met my potty mouth before?
I have met your potty mouth before.
So
I'm
we're exactly
intimately involved with your potty mouth. And yet, but still, like, you know, it's mom's.
Girl, mom is an
it's
OG.
Mom.
It's an OG.
Okay.
Period, point blank.
Shout out to mom.
Shout out to mom.
I
and Nana.
Mom.
Hey, Nana. Because
hey,
my Nana be downloading and listening to the podcast. I can't with her. She's hilarious. It's funny. I recently just did Steve
mm-hmm.
Harvey's daytime show.
Yep.
And they did like a panel about love and relationships and what have you. And we were talking. And one part that got cut out that I was really hoping, like everyone died. It was like the last thing we said. But there were so many good nuggets in that segment that I knew that they were going to have to kind of pare
mm-hmm.
down. And I was talking about my grandmother. And one of the funniest advice that Nana has some gems, and she's an OG for real.
Okay.
She told me, she said, well, there was two parts. I didn't tell the whole part on Steve Harvey. She said, well, first of all, I ain't no prostitute or nothing. That's how she starts it. My Nana is, how old am I? 70, about to be 79.
Spirit
she said,
animal.
Right.
Your Nana is my spirit animal, just
right.
from starting the story this way.
I'm not no
Go
prostitute
ahead.
Or nothing. However, no man has ever sat on my couch and not contributed something and watched my cable and eaten my food and not contributed something to this bottom line. And she said, and furthermore, I don't ever accept gifts. You give me the cash. You can never sit down and point out what you've done for me. I'll do what I want with it. I said, Nana, you are a pimp.
Hey,
I was like, you know what, Nana, that's some real OG stuff right there, but I ain't mad at it.
I mean, neither am I. I think that these antiquated ideas around money, relationships, and all that kind of shit, like, you know, you would hope that a woman would have, like, some goals and whatever, but, like, do you? Like, if you're going to be in a relationship,
do you? You know what I found? That is the biggest lesson. Like, if I think back, you've just got to do you. Mm-hmm. And the man that you're supposed to be with, he'll catch up. Yeah. Like, you can't hold your, like, so many women, and I've been one of them, have, you know, dimmed their light or have, you know, changed the way you move to accommodate a man or a relationship. But you can't. You have to, because the man who's supposed to be for you will step up to the plate and will embrace all of those different things about you.
Agreed.
The nuances, the good, the bad.
The crazy.
The crazy, everything.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Brian is totally like that. My husband is, you know, go, be, do, fly. I will be here. My, you know, my job, my role is to be the anchor, the catcher's mitt, the whatever I need to be so that you can shine. Mm-hmm. And so it has given me, you know, wings in a way that I didn't even realize I needed. I think that, you know, I was raised by really, really strong women who mm-hmm. have, you know, who are very much so the governors and rulers of our family. And so, but I also saw these women work full time, you know, cook every night, raise their children, right. like do all of these, you know, pull all of these Herculean efforts to be the women that they were. And then I found that when I was having kids or when we started having kids, I was just like, I don't know how you do it all. Like, how do you cook, clean, cook for him at night when you're in the bedroom? Like, mm-hmm. you cooking twice in a day and getting up, going
dessert,
to work. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, that's crazy to me. Like, my grandmother had 9 children. Like, oh, how Lord. Are you doing this? And so, you know, one of the things that my grandmother shared with me is that if we had the means to, you know, have a nanny or mm-hmm. all the different things that you have access to right now, believe me, I would have.
Right.
I would have done that, but it wasn't a choice.
Do you know what I find the biggest thing when you're a mom specifically? It just gets done.
Right.
It just gets done.
Right.
You don't always think, you don't know how it may, you don't know.
Or it doesn't.
Or when I say it gets done, you make it. You
True.
Make it to the next day.
True.
So I'm not saying that everything gets done in the time frame that you would like it to get done in your
Very
mind.
Very true.
You know, the things that are important, it somehow all of it falls into place.
Yep.
You know, whether it gets done today or in a week.
Very true. Very true. Like I used to feel guilt. Mm-hmm. I used to feel guilty about that. I used to feel guilty about the nights that we would order out. I felt guilty about sitting Brian down and saying, I need for us to get, you know, cleaning staff for the house. Like, I can't do this. I felt guilty about asking, I need a laundry service because ain't nobody got time for that. And
right.
I will tell you, one of my besties, Julie, she was like, I'm going to need you. She's the person in my life that is like my aspirational friend. So like, I look at Julie and I'm like, this is how I should be living. Let mm-hmm. me pull myself out of like the confines of my life. And this is like what I should be doing. But like, Julie was like, take your 6-figure plus salary and like divide that by the days and hours and find out what your hourly
right,
rate
is. Your hourly rate. And I had a conversation with another friend. Hey, Peter. So my friend Peter finished your thing, but I had the same conversation.
Yes, she was like, find out what your hourly
That's
rate
what you
is.
Paying to wash
so
clothes.
When you spend all day on Saturday cleaning the house and doing laundry and you get up and do it from 9 to 6, add that up. Could you have hired someone to do it cheaper?
Absolutely.
Than it took for you to take, if you're going to have free time, why would you spend the energy and effort towards that versus being efficient and paying someone to do it for you, especially when it's less expensive than your time, energy, and effort?
I agree.
So that's where I started. I started to realize that, you know what, I got to change the guilt, shift my thinking, and realize that I'm being efficient. I'm being extremely efficient.
And you're creating more time to spend with your children,
creating
with
more,
your husband.
Exactly. I'd rather be at the park with them or at Adrenaline, which is something that they like, or jump, you know, jump park or whatever it is. I'd rather be doing that than laundry, cleaning, or whatever.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
100,000,000%. I love it. Yeah, me and my friend Peter and his wife Hannah, they have an Ella too.
Mm.
Their daughter and mine are like a couple months apart, and mm-hmm. I was out. I was visiting with them, and we had the same conversation. Peter was like, "Listen, I work hard, I make money, and at the end of the day, my hourly rate to rake these, to do this yard work, or do it just doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all. And it's so funny because I literally just got back from Seattle from seeing Julie. Yes, I love her because, I needed that time away from Hubs and the kids, mm-hmm. just me time.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all. I mean, you know, some ladies feel like that time shouldn't happen. I honestly need that restorative period of, you know, every day when I wake up, I'm employed by someone. I'm someone's wife, somebody's mama, sister, all mm-hmm. these roles that I carry. And at the end of the day, like, I need that time to check in with myself, make sure the bitch ain't crazy. Like, you know, hey.
That shit crazy.
Right.
Right.
Hey, bitch, you still in there?
Because then what happens is you don't know you're crazy till you just, like, one day just wild out. And you're like, okay, wait a minute.
Till you walking down 14th in your drawers and your husband's like, I've seen this happening. I knew it was coming, but now here we are. And you end up on the news. Like, right, I don't want
that. Please don't be on the news.
So I check in with the bitch to make sure she's okay. Like, hey, bitch.
Thank you. You okay?
In there?
You all right? Okay.
You know, you've been doing a lot. So, yeah, I took the trip to make sure.
Can I just say real
quick? She was not crazy.
I love my friends. I absolutely adore every last one of you. And this is why. Like, one thing, like, to me, like, a woman who says she doesn't have really good girlfriends, mm-hmm. it kind of makes me be like,
you can't trust a bitch.
I don't know about that.
Mm-mm.
And I'm just grateful because I have had, like, the longevity of my friendship span, you know, my oldest friend, Sophia, who we've been friends for 30, like, plus years, mm-hmm. 33, some crazy number. But the quality of your friendships and being able to have these kind of candid conversations
yep.
are so real. Where, you know, I'm kind of one of those, you know how we're like, no new friends. We good. We got the people we need.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful because you're one of my newer friends.
Yep.
And when we met, it's just something like when you meet someone, I was like, I'm keeping you. I'm keeping you.
True.
I don't care what happens because we met through an ex and are mutual, have mutual relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you, no matter what happens, you're not going to get rid of me.
Right. That's so true. And I'm learning now to, like, kind of categorize or compartmentalize my friends. Like, I think before I had a very undergraduate view of, like, we all supposed to be on the same level. What I do, everybody do, like, everybody come in. And now I'm realizing that's not realistic.
Mm-mm.
Like, there are friends that are in this bucket and there are friends that are meant for this bucket, and that's okay. Like, everything is not for everybody. But I'm such a loyalist. And I'm such one that wants to feel like, well, if I'm there, everybody should be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm realizing now that that's just not, it's just not practical. It's not realistic. And not only that, it can be extremely controversial because not everybody is supposed to be with everybody.
Yeah.
You know
everyone,
what I mean?
You
can cause a lot of conflict in your life by putting two bitches together that wasn't meant to be together because they both have you in common. But they also both speak to vastly different parts of your personality. So you may need this one for one thing and the other for it, but to put them two together is a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, you have to know your, like, because you have your old school friends who have been there through a lot and they're your turn up crew, but they can't all come to the luncheon.
No.
They can't come to the corporate luncheon.
No. No, they can't come to the corporate luncheon. Absolutely not.
No.
Because then we'll all be on the news.
Exactly.
No.
So I agree with that. You kind of have to. It's nothing wrong with it, and it doesn't diminish the value of one friendship over another friendship.
No.
But it's like, you know, asking someone who doesn't have the skill set to do something to do it, and that's not fair.
Right.
It's not fair. It's like asking a plumber to bake a cake,
and
they're not a baker.
Absolutely.
So
best description ever for that scenario. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next time I have this conversation with friends, like, why you'd invite me? Because you're a plumber, not a baker. And this event was for bakers. That's happening. You know that's happening. Like, I'm going to have that conversation, and then I'm going to text you and be like, this bitch asked me why she didn't invite me.
Because
you a plumber, not a baker. And this was all about cake. It was what you there for.
I like
and my
to
friends
eat
know
cake.
That's exactly how I talk to them.
Like
they're
to
just
eat
like,
cake.
I can't. Right. But I like to eat cake, but we wasn't eating cake.
We were making
cakes. Like, stop.
hilarious.
Stop. I'll call you and tell you what it was like.
I'll tell you about the chocolate frosting.
Exactly.
But let's stay tuned. We're going to continue. We're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back more with my friend Delana.
You're listening to Candidly Keisha.
We are back here at Candidly Keisha. More with my friend. I missed her.
Yay. I have missed you.
Oh, so my breast milk is back in full force.
Mm-hmm. I remember those days.
Yes. And I, Ella's with grandma right now because I had to come do my pod. And she's gotten older. So now the days of like her just like sitting still, I just don't think I was like, okay, today just have fun with grandma.
Are you enjoying breastfeeding?
Yeah. It doesn't bother me.
I hated it.
You hated it?
I really did.
Really?
Yeah, I just I was really afraid to say that out loud when it's I was okay, doing though. It because I didn't want like the mafia moms
girl,
to be like,
girl, they're serious.
Oh yeah, like the mafia moms are real judgmental. Like I can do all things. I puree carrots at night for my child. Like the mafia moms, I didn't want them to come after me and be like, "You hate your child suckling from your breast. How could you say these things?" And I'm like, "Yeah, so I didn't admit it then, but I am admitting it now because, one, my breasts used to be beautiful first. That's first. Yeah. Like, they used to sit up. Like, they were a siren call.
Can I just say this? I hear where you're going, and I had this moment today, and I was looking. I was like, I need, like, I'd never appreciated my body the way I should have before.
Oh, yeah.
And these are going to have to get help because – by the time she finishes, they're going to be National Geographic titties.
And
it's that simple.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get them hooked up.
Right.
And I have no shame about that.
I wanted to.
Mine used to be really, like, perky and little and, like, not little. They were always really full and mm-hmm. cute. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now I look at them and they're like.
I don't know you.
They're huge.
That's
my boobies are freaking ginormous.
They were just, you know, they were great. They always were great. They were my pride. Like, I never really had ass all like that, but, like,
you
the tits were, like,
awesome.
Hey, you know? And then my children happened. And so, yeah, one, I just didn't appreciate what was happening to them. Like, the process of seeing them change was something that, like, mortified me. I was like, I'm never going to come back from this, you know? That was one. And then two, like, the sensation from it. Like, it was just really weird for me because, you know, TMI, let's just go ahead and share.
Sexual,
like,
yeah,
my breasts are extremely, like, you know, that's my hot zone.
Right.
That's my hot zone.
I could understand why, from that perspective, you'd be a little like, eh. I just, for me, and it's a personal thing, like, I agree with you because there are some real, like, moms can get real feisty.
Mafia moms, yeah.
Real feisty. And
you know who you are out there listening to it right now. You think, oh, no, I don't judge. No, bitch, it's you. You mafia mom. You judge. Stop that. It's not right. We all supposed to be in this together, okay? PSA to all of you out there who are thinking it's not you. The very first bitch that said it wasn't me, it's you. It's you, and I'm talking to you. Stop it. It's hard, okay? We all stick together. But I love you, though. Know that. I'm going to love you anyway. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Comedy. I'm like, I needed this today. But no, because, like, yeah, like, it's funny to me because, like, a whole community of, like, breastfeeding people, like, I didn't know all the terms because I was just doing it because it was it's right for me and Ella.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my child just she's, like, she likes breast milk.
Yep.
Like, it's just where we are. It's what it is, even at, however, so let me see, Jennifer. She's almost 14 months old.
Mm.
And I don't know how I'm going to get her to stop. Like, it's so bad. I can't even, like, change my clothes or take a shower without mm-hmm. her going, booby, booby, mm-hmm. and just, like, straight grabbing my boobie and putting it in her mouth. Like, that's where we are with this right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
She's very committed, and she's very serious about this.
Yeah.
Like, if I was sitting here right now, she would put her hand in my shirt and yeah. help herself. It's just what it is. And I guess it would be different if I were dating or if I was in a relationship or, you know, because that would kind of change the dynamics of things. But the reality is she's had these boobies to herself.
True.
Her whole life. They've been
yeah,
hers.
Yeah, I breastfed both of my kids for 4 months and then I pumped mm-hmm. for another, like, 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
Or maybe another, like, 2 months. But I was also, I was interchanging in bottles and all of that because, of course, they had to go to daycare because I had to get back to work. Mm-hmm. And I took 4 months off with each mm-hmm. after each birth. So at the point that they went back to daycare was the point – or they went to daycare was the point that I started, like, supplementing with formula
right.
and, like, getting them used to all of that. And then it was like, okay, it's time to give the titties back to your daddy. Like, we – we are
I
done.
I have a lot of friends who've had that same, where their husbands or their, you know, significant other been like, okay, enough.
I would Ryan didn't care.
I'd like my boobies back.
Yeah, no, he was down for it. He was like, we can share, but understand that I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm down for it. National Geographic, I likes it. We subscribe. Let's go.
Hilarious.
So, like, you know, it didn't really matter to him, but for me, it did. Like, I'm like, I've got sensory overload here. I got you suckling to nourish. I got you suckling for a whole different other reason. Like, this is a lot for the brain to take in. So, for me, it was just, it was just hard because I really wanted to enjoy it, but I just think it really wasn't what I expected of it. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. It wasn't what I expected, but I did appreciate the ability to really be with my child in that way and have that those intimate moments with my child. Mm-hmm. I think that was a part of it that I really appreciated.
And I feel like that's what I think. That's one of the things that I definitely appreciated. It's like our moment, our time together. And I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And it's just the closeness that it can't be duplicated in any other way.
Absolutely.
And she's been so healthy. Like being breastfed, you know, like the little colt, even when she gets the little bit of cooties from my niece or my nephew because they are in daycare or whatever, it doesn't last.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate how healthy, how smart, how, you know, all of those things that, you know, have come. Not to say that other kids can't be smart because they didn't breastfeed.
No,
I'm not
absolutely.
Saying that at all.
Yeah.
But I do see those differences.
It's superfood.
So
it's baby superfood.
And I am happy. Like, you should be able to feel the way you feel, too.
Yeah.
I feel like as moms, we definitely have to embrace one another and embrace our journeys because they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And one journey isn't necessarily better than the other. Or this doesn't make you, like, even when I had to have a C-section, I told my mom, I'm like, look, I'm not that girl.
Right.
I'm not that over who feels like, oh, if I don't push her out of, I'm not that girl.
Right.
If the healthy way for both of us, for her to get here, is for me to have a C-section, give me the good drugs. Let's get this party popping.
Yeah.
That was where I was with it.
Yeah, no, I tried it natural. I made it, you know, about 10 hours with both.
Oof.
And then I ended up, you know, with Noah, I just got tired.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, I was throttling at 3 and I was about to stab people. And so they were like, listen.
Yeah. Let's not kill
anybody. Like, can we, like, give you just a little bit of an epidural? Like, how you give somebody a little bit of epidural? But anyway.
Do you know, I didn't even feel it when they gave me the epidural. And I am a punk for pain. Like, I am not.
I didn't either. But they give that for mine, they gave it to me when I was in the middle of a contraction.
Oh.
So I was bent over holding on to Brian. Like, and, you know, so I don't think that it registered in my brain. Like, I was just like, please just give me something.
Just stop. Make it stop.
Make it stop.
Make it stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, have children. It's fine. You'll be fine.
No, you will. You'll really be okay. You'll really, really be okay.
Some people hear these stories and they're like, shit, I don't want to do this. No, you should.
Yeah, you definitely
experience.
Should.
There's reasons why people, you know, are repeat offenders, why we go back.
Like you?
Because as soon as they put the baby in your hands, like all the things that you've just gone through, like it just magically disappears.
Because
I'm already
there. Like, I've started forgetting, like, the nuances. I've started,
totally
I've forgotten because I'm already like, man, I'd like one. But I would either, if I don't have another one, and I've also embraced that, like, as much as I come from a large family and I would love to have had a large family, and I still can have more kids. It's not like I can't have any more kids, but, you know, it takes two to have a child. And if that doesn't happen for me, I'm so open to adopting also. I feel like your journey to motherhood is unique, and however it happens is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. Can't worry about it.
Yeah, no, we found out Lillian was Lillian.
We
have a boy and a girl.
And you are done.
Yeah, while I was pregnant, I was like, Brian, let's go on, like, you know. a lot of women are, I have friends that are, like, trying to have that vasectomy conversation with their husbands or their significant others, and they're like, nah, like, I can't. Like, you just be on birth control or get your snip while they're already in there. And I'm like,
I've grown two humans. You can do this.
I mean, that's basically what I told him. I came into this marriage disease-free and without children. I've climbed up on a table and pushed two of your big-headed ass babies out of my vagina. The least you could do is climb up on a table once for me. Like, this is, you know, this ain't rocket science.
Look,
like, I need
know,
for you to do your part.
I don't
okay?
know what else we can even say after that.
I do your part. And he was like, you right, bae. You right. Let me go ahead and get this done. Thank you. And now it's free love up in the Haley household. We
nice.
Up in there doing all kinds of shit to each other.
Nice.
Enjoying ourselves. Not worried about having any more children. This was God's plan. Hashtag God's plan.
What about the people who get vasectomies? Like, what is that football player? I can't remember his name.
Oh, and is and it Cromartie?
Yeah, it had like twins. It had like four kids after he had a vasectomy.
Let me tell you, I would not have sex with him no more. All of our adventures together would be oral. Nigga, I can't trust you. I cannot trust you. I cannot trust you. I don't know what's happening.
Like, what do you say to the doctor? Like, I mean.
You're supposed to wait a month and then have a test.
I mean, right.
I don't know what they did or didn't do, but all I know is they had twins after. That is crazy. That he has, like, I don't even know how many kids.
But it probably happened before. Like, she probably got pregnant before the procedure. And then.
No.
Was it really dead ass after the procedure?
I swear.
Right.
No,
there is
no,
a lot
no.
still happening down there.
I am about to Google this right now. What is the guy's name?
Is it Cromartie Antonio or. Is that who it is? I can't remember, child.
Babies.
Cromartie.
I did.
I don't know.
Yes. His 14th child.
Oh, my God.
This fool has 14 kids. Okay. Let's go to TMZ. TMZ normally has something interesting to say.
I can't.
Actually, no. This is Us Weekly. Antonio, yes, Cromartie. And wife, Terica? Is her name Terica? Mm. Welcome their sixth child. So, yes, welcome. This is the Us Weekly. It's his 14th child.
He got eight that ain't even with her?
Right.
No, son.
Welcomed a baby girl named Jet Paxton. Oh, she spells it different, but my niece's name is Jet. Their new bundle of joy. Oh, wait, this is after they'd had the twins. Hold on. Let's see. Their new bundle of joy weighed 8 pounds, 2 ounces. One of the best pregnancies she's had. They've all five that she's had. Oh, this is it. Also, the father of eight from a previous relationship, despite having a vasectomy years ago. Years. Years.
Things can reconnect.
Oh, wait. And then the kids, they have 16-month-old twins. I told you they had twins. So they had twins. They kept having sex despite this faulty vasectomy. And they had another. That is cray.
That's going to be a hard no for me, dog. That's going to be a
hard
no.
What would happen if for some reason you ended up pregnant after this?
You know, I've had that conversation with a couple of my friends, uh-huh. and, you know, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
No, I have no problem. You know me. I'm open book. Right. I really like, you know. I can't do shit with your judgment. I can't spend it, and I can't fuck it, so I really don't care nothing about it. But
can I say, you know, that is my new favorite line? That is my new, I can't do nothing with your judgment.
Nothing. Like, I can't do nothing with it. It ain't going to get me into the gates. I can't fuck it, and I can't spend it. So
then
at the end of the day, I got no use for it.
No use.
You can give it if you want, if that's energy you want to spend. But, like, I can't do nothing with it. It's not what you eat don't make me shit. Like,
right.
I can't do nothing with your judgment.
I think you missed your calling. Just FYI, you completely and utterly missed your calling. So, yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's a tough one. Like, Brian and I have talked about it. I've talked about it with my mom. Like, I think, one, y'all would have to, like, come see me in a facility I'd have to put myself on a 30-day committal. Like, I think, just to even think about it. And then I probably would have that very selfish conversation with myself. Like, am I even going to tell Brian about it? Am I just going to fool around with this clinic and just act like this did not happen? Like,
Brian would kill you.
He would. I mean, he would absolutely kill me. But, like, honestly, I mean, I, of course, would have my child, but like it would be stressful for me to even think about. Like, I love my children, I
but
love
you've
the
gotten
journey
them to like an age where they're self-sufficient.
Yeah,
where,
I'm yeah. just like, this journey is like, it's hard enough, and you think that as they get older things get easier, but really it just, you just enter into a new phase of hard,
right?
Because it becomes more
activities
complex,
and
well
have
just the complexity
of
before
the conversations
it was
that
eat,
you have
sleep,
right
eat
sleep.
You have the why and the, well, mommy.
I got somebody with opinions.
Yeah.
You know?
How about I have someone with an opinions already?
Yeah.
She already has opinions.
I got somebody, like, doing stuff and tried to hide it. Like, I, like, literally, Marco Polo, my girlfriend's about this week. My daughter is into makeup. She's 4. So she's like, she loves to watch me put my makeup
on.
Ella
is the same way. She got my black liner the other day. I turned around. She was sitting right here, so it had, like, fallen out of my makeup bag.
Mm-hmm.
I literally was sitting right there. I turned around. She had black eyeliner drawn all over her face.
Yeah.
All over.
And I let Lillian play in my brushes as I'm doing stuff. She looks a hot mess, but it doesn't matter. She's having fun with it. It's the joys of being a girl. But, like, Sunday, like, my kids have gotten to the age where they can actually get up. Noah's old enough to, like, make cereal for him and his sister. They got their own Netflix login on the TV. They know how to do that.
Right.
So it's like, let your daddy and I sleep in. We've been getting up at, like, 6 o'clock years.
6 years.
Let us sleep in. So we were sleeping in. She came into the room, and she was like, Mommy, I want to do makeup. And I was like, not right now. Mommy will do it with you later. Like, let Mommy finish sleeping. She leaves. Later, about probably 2-3 hours later, as I'm talking to her about something, I look at her hands and see that there is hot pink nail polish all over her fingers, her nails. It's everywhere.
Oh, God.
And so I'm like,
didn't get the carpet,
Lillian, where did the nail polish come from? She, you know, kind of cowers down looking at me, and she's like,
I did
my nails. And I was like, where did you do your nails? In my room. In your room or in the bathroom? In my room.
Oh, is it on
Did the you make a mess? And then, of course, like, her face just completely crumbles because she's like, oh, shit, here it comes. And I'm like, let's go upstairs. Like, let me see what you've done. Child, there was about a half inch wide, 12 inch long, hot pink streak of nail polish in my carpet that she had covered up with a towel thinking that I was going to walk in a room and not see it.
Oh, my God.
I Googled. So here you go. Parenting tip, cleaning tip. If there's ever fingernail polish in your carpet, you need rubbing alcohol. That's how you get it out.
Nice.
It takes a bit. I had to get an old toothbrush and like really get in there. And like it took me an hour and a half. And for every minute that I had to do it, I made her sit there in her little chair and watch me do it. Scared about what was going to happen next. Like, is she going to kill me? Oh, my God. Like, she's
really
fuming. It came out. It came out 100%.
Nice.
But it took me an hour and a half, and I made her sit there and watch me do it. Her father came in, and he was like, what happened? And I was like, I'm not talking to you. Like, just get out. It was tough. But, yeah, like, the complexity of parenting picks up.
Got it.
It stops being about the creature comforts of just eat, sleep. Eat,
clean
sleep,
poo.
Give you snack, clean poo. And then it's, I got a thinker. I got a doer. I've got a person who is shaping. And I tell people all the time, like, when you have children, your job is not to be the architect of their lives.
Right.
Your job is to protect them so that they don't kill themselves along the journey until God reveals for them what their purpose is while being here.
And then it's supporting them and encouraging them
exactly.
And empowering them in their purpose.
Exactly. So I am not trying to define who you are. Whoever you are, whatever you are, understand that that is welcome here.
Yeah.
Okay? You will not be defined by antiquated beliefs of what it is to be whoever you are, be whoever you are. I'm just trying to put some guardrails up.
So you don't kill
yourself. So you don't kill yourself along the way. Because eventually you will find that out. But like, I also tell them, my children, you in a box, my friend. It's a big box. It's a colorful box. Lot to do in this box, okay?
Uh-huh.
Mommy's okay with you like coloring outside the lines of that box because that's where you find your autonomy.
Yes.
That's where you understand like who you are and like what makes you you. But my nigga, if you step, like you just walk up to the line and like step the hell up over it.
We got a problem.
I'm getting ready to meet your soul. You and I are about to have our first real tete-a-tete. You're about to meet me. And not the corporate me. You're about to meet the me that was raised in Stuttgart, Arkansas.
Stuttgart? I've been there actually randomly, but go ahead.
Uh-huh. You're about to meet that me. Where the black mama really don't care if DCS shows up or do what.
The mama that gives you the phone and says, I'll dial it. Call them.
Well, like, do what you need to do. Like,
that was my
you know what I mean?
Oh, for real?
Like,
let me give you the number real quick.
You're going to have to meet me. And so, like, I throttle on that line. But, like, my children understand that. Like, I want you to experience life. Like, as you get complex,
mm-hmm.
I get complex. But understand, like, you know, My son, young black man, is a reason why this box is not meant to confine you. It's meant to help you to understand the boundaries that people perceive that you have in life. So you need to understand where they are, because I'm not trying to wear my son on a T-shirt, because they will shoot you first and ask questions later.
Yeah.
Okay. So understand, like, you need to understand these boundaries, not to keep you bound, but so that you can operate more efficiently and be smart about how you live your life.
Because a lot of people don't understand, in order to break rules, or not break them, but circumvent rules, you have to first know them.
Exactly.
You have to know them.
Exactly. So I want you to be, I'm raising free black children. You know, you are not defined by what this world says you are.
Right.
However, you need to be aware of it. And if you just out here so free that you just stepping over lines and shit, especially in a house that I pay mortgage on.
Right. She don't pay nothing.
You don't pay nothing. I tell them all the time, you live here, my friend. You live here. But you don't own nothing up in here. Like, your daddy and I allow you to sleep in that room because we love you. And, you know, that night that you was procreated on that couch after that, you know,
margarita
concert and shit.
Like,
we
just, you know. Tequila. Uh-huh.
It was Mike Epps. I blame Mike Epps. Just fun fact. We went to go see him.
I remember you told me this story.
The comedy
and then
special.
You were like, I'm pregnant.
We went home. Brian turned on some music. Let's blame Mike Epps and Tyrese.
Hilarious.
Maybe a little bit of Tank in there as well, too.
Hilarious.
Like, all three of those people.
It's their fault.
It added up to Noah and Lillian.
Hilarious.
Basically.
Well, let me just say, I have so appreciated and enjoyed.
James is like, why do we have one today?
Honestly, James most of the time is looking like, what the hell am I
what am I editing, what is today's podcast going on right now?
But this is why it's called Candidly Keisha, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I said we had a big announcement last week, and this month is going to be my final month of Candidly Keisha. And it's been an amazing journey. I've definitely enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the freedom to talk about any and everything I desire to talk about. And it's not going to stop now just because we're no longer doing Candidly Keisha. But I feel like, you know, my goal and desire was definitely to, you know, make it past our 100 episodes. We've done that. I don't know how many podcasts accomplish that. You know, people do. I'm not saying it's like that far-fetched, but I feel like in anything, that's kind of like, even in television, once you've made your 100th mark, that's where you get syndication. So we'll see what happens with Candidly Keisha next. I'm not saying that something new and great isn't on the horizon, but in terms of doing this weekly, our last day is the end of March. To be specific, March 30th. Is our final Candidly Keisha.
Well, I'm glad I got back in here.
I'm glad you made it. I'm glad
I was here earlier in the journey.
Yes.
And now here we are again.
I know.
You're all welcome for this experience that you've just had today. Okay? You're
welcome. It's been epic and everything. So, you know, I'm going to post something online, and I'd love to hear from you guys to hear, for these last couple episodes, what would you like to hear from Candidly Keisha? So please let me know. I'm going to post something on Instagram. I want you guys to let me know, to give me all of your different ideas and your favorite shows and favorite guests, who you'd like to see back. And we're going to work on making sure that that happens. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for coming today, Duana.
You're welcome.
I love you.
I love you.
It's been everything I needed. And even though Ella wasn't with me today, I needed this me time with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're mad because I know she was looking like, where the hell Ella at?
I mean,
why is it just you? That's what I get from all my friends.
I'm not going to mafia mom you and be like, you should have brought the baby because you know I really wanted to see the baby. But, you know.
But guess what? Now we have to get together again.
True story.
So you can see the baby. We'll get together with the kids.
Story.
We'll find something fun to do. It'll be great. It will involve
story.
You know, wine in bouncy houses or something. I don't know.
I'm good to take a flask to the bouncy house. I generally keep one on me at all times. So, yeah.
But do you know what? I found that out. Like, most moms, like, in their coffee cups and in their little it's vodka or it's something else.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't know
spring
that.
Spring is upon us. Noah starting baseball. Every
yes.
Saturday morning, my black ass will be out there with a cup.
Yes.
What's Wait. In it? If you want to have some fun, come sit by me because my cup is festive. Absolutely.
I just found, yeah, it's a mommy, little mommy fact that I'm now privy to.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
And this is Candidly Keisha. We have, let me see exactly how much, one, two, three more Candidly Keishas. So make sure that you tune in and enjoy your weekend. Just have a great time. And we'll be right back next week.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.